Hello, welcome to Black British Girl Talks Crime, Finance, etc., a podcast about crime, finance, and other things. Each week, I will bring you a true crime story or financial advice or just about life as a black girl in British society. Follow along for true crime stories, tips on budgeting or home ownership, and general insight into current events and black British life.
Hi everyone and welcome back to my channel. This is a story I've considered doing for quite a while, and with a new documentary out, which I'll put in the bottom information bar, I'm going to tell the story of Louise Woodward. So we are starting in February 1997, and Louise Woodward is 18 years old and working as an au pair for the Epen family. So she was working as an au pair for the Epen family, and an au pair is defined as a helper from a foreign country working and living as part of a host family. And usually they have room, board, food, and get paid a small salary. So Louise is 18 years old and she is originally from Britain in the place called Elton in Cheshire. And she flew to Boston, Massachusetts after her A-levels in 1996. She wanted to take a gap year and she underwent 3 days of training. So she went to work for a family but was reportedly unhappy with the 11 p.m. curfew she was given. So she left this placement in November 1996. And then she started working for Sunil and Deborah Epen, who were 30 years old and worked as doctors. But they became unhappy with her as she started staying out late. And in January 1997, they came up with rules she had to live by. 4 days later, on February 4th, 1997, Louise called an ambulance to the Epen's home after nine-month-old Matthew stopped breathing and he was put on a life support machine at Boston Children's Hospital. Matthew fell into a coma and died on 9th of February 1997 from a fractured skull and subdural hematoma, which is a serious condition where blood collects between the skull and the surface of the brain. He was also found to have an unexplained fractured wrist, which was unnoticed, and it was an injury from a month before. And Lois E.H. Smith, who is an ophthalmologist at the hospital, observed retinal hemorrhages, judged characteristic of shaken baby syndrome. So Louise was arrested on the 5th of February and held for assault and battery at first, and then when Matthew died, this was changed to murder. A grand jury decided on a first-degree murder charge in March, and she was denied bail and held until trial at the MCI Framingham Prison, which is a maximum security unit. And during this time in prison, she lived mostly in solitary confinement to keep her safe from attacks by the other inmates, since she had been branded as a baby killer. And there was huge press coverage of this already, never mind when it went to trial. In a statement to the police, Louise said that she popped the baby on the bed, and there are discrepancies amongst the word, what the word popped means. In England, we described popped as something that you place down gently, whereas I understand it in America, pops means that you hit someone. The police officer who interviewed her immediately after the incident really insists that she never used the word popped, but she said dropped the baby on the bed. Louise pleaded not guilty to battery of a child, and the judge refused to move the trial to another city because they were facing calls that this could be a biased trial because the press coverage of this was so extensive and negative. So the presiding judge was Hiller B. Zobel, and the prosecution was led by Assistant District Attorney Gerard Leon and Assistant District Attorney Martha Coakley. And there were eight physicians involved in Matthew's care who were presented. This is a neurosurgeon, ophthalmologist, a radiologist, two pathologists, and an expert in child abuse. And they all testified that his injuries were as a result of violent shaking and from his head impacting with a hard surface. So Louise's defender was Barry Sheck, who's co-founder of the Innocence Project, which campaigns on those people's behalfs who are imprisoned and they're innocent. And Barry was hired and paid for by employer EF Education's First Cultural Care au pair. And this was obviously to maintain their reputation because they did not want her to be found guilty. And as part of the defense strategy, her attorneys requested that the jury not be given the option of convicting her of manslaughter, which is obviously lesser than murder, but instead either convict her of murder or find her not guilty. And then when personally questioned about this, Louise agreed with this decision. So she was questioned by the judge and she said she was happy with that. So legal experts speculated that the motivation for this decision was to help EF Education First avoid a civil lawsuit from the Epen family. And in the documentary that was recently aired, the screening process and training for au pairs had come under scrutiny because, as I said, Louise only received 3 days in training. And if the death had been premeditated, then under Massachusetts law, EF Education First could not be held responsible. if the death was not premeditated, then it would indicate fault with EF Education's first cultural care au pair. So some people stated controversially that's the motivation behind making this sort of option. So there was some evidence that Matthew was not shaken, and this was presented at trial. So there were no neck injuries to him, which would have been expected if he had been violently shaken. Medical testimony suggested that his injury may have occurred 3 weeks before the date of death, implying that his parents were responsible and that or they were negligent or abusive. And he had old wrist injuries that may have been occurred before Louise even arrived at the house, but Louise denied seeing such injuries of Matthew. So on the 7th of May 1997, Louise underwent a polygraph test, and Dr. Raskin concluded that her answers to the questions about Matthew's death were truthful to a confidence level of 95%. So on October 30th, 1997, after 26 hours of deliberations, the jury found Louise Woodward guilty of second-degree murder. And I just want to say that as a young person, when this trial was going on, I can remember the rolling coverage of this trial. It was everywhere, highly broadcasted, especially, I believe, on Sky News in Britain. And it was a highly publicised trial. During the deliberations, the jury had been evenly split about the murder charge, but those who had favoured not guilty were persuaded by the others to accept a conviction, and this was revealed 2 days later after the verdict was delivered. A member of the jury later said none of the jury thought she tried to murder him. The following day, Judge Zobel sentenced her to life in prison with a minimum of 15 years to be served, and I remember this verdict. Louise was obviously very traumatised. She wept in the courtroom, she was shaking, she told her parents, please don't let me spend the rest of my life in here for something I didn't do. And Louise's legal team filed post-conviction motions to the trial court, and the hearing opened on 4th of November. On the 10th of November, at post-conviction relief hearing, Judge Zobel reduced the conviction to involuntary manslaughter, stating that, and I quote, the circumstances in which the defendant acted were characterised by confusion, inexperience, frustration, immaturity and some anger, but not malice in the legal sense, supporting a conviction for second-degree murder. I am morally certain that allowing this defendant on this evidence to remain convicted of second-degree murder would be a miscarriage of justice. So Louise's sentence was reduced to time served, which is 279 days, and she was freed. And Assistant District Attorney Gerald Leon then appealed the judge's decision to the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts, asking to throw out her manslaughter conviction, but the court rejected this and affirmed the guilty verdict by a 7-0 vote. However, in a 4-3 split decision, the court rejected the prosecution's appeal against a reduction of conviction to involuntary manslaughter and the sentence. On 16th of June 1998, Louise returned to the United Kingdom, and she gave an interview in the UK, and it was broadcast live to the UK and the US. And she gave the interview to the BBC, conducted by Martin Bashir in Panorama, and she maintained her innocence. She said she wanted to return to her life. And in a later interview, Louise admitted to likely shaking the unresponsive baby, which was an action recommended by the National Institutes of Health. Matthew's parents filed a civil lawsuit, to prevent Louise from earning any profits from selling her story, and she lost the lawsuit by default as her legal costs were no longer covered by the au pair agency. So in the documentary, which is linked below, there was a lot of controversy over how Matthew Epen's mother was during the trial. So Deborah, a lot of people stated that she was not adhering to the typical upset mother characteristic or stereotype, and she was able to give evidence in what was labeled a non-emotional way. There was also questions and accusations of her putting her career ahead of her child, and people demanding that they were sort of, people stating that they were greedy for both being doctors earning high wage and still not being able to have one parent at home with Matthew. There was also other sentiments about Louise being undertrained, which I do agree, 3 days of training to become an au pair and in charge of an 8-month-old infant at such a young age, and someone who had not had prior experience, is quite controversial as well. So what happened to Louise after? So she studied law at London South Bank University, and she gained a 2-2 honours degree in July 2002, and in 2004, she began a training contract, the 2-year training at an accredited firm that aspiring solicitors must serve back then. It was with a law firm in Oldham, Greater Manchester, but she dropped out the following year to pursue a career as a ballroom and Latin dance teacher in Chester. And as of 2021, Louise is known under her married name Elks, and the couple, because she got married in 2013, have a daughter born to them in 2014, and Louise still lives in the area. Patrick Barnes, a paediatric radiologist at Stanford University, was a key prosecution witness in the trial, but in 2011 said he would not give the same testimony today. He said there had been a revolution in the understanding of head injuries in the past decade, partly due to advances in MRI brain scanning technology, and we started realizing there were a number of medical conditions that can affect a baby's brain and look like the findings that we used to attribute to shaken baby syndrome or child abuse, such as infections and in utero strokes. And this also reminds me of one of my favorite podcasts, who did an episode most recently with the case of Patty Stalling, who was a mother who was also accused of the death of her own child. And it turned out due to inaccuracies with the determination of the cause of death, that she was inaccurately sentenced to murdering her infant son Ryan and poisoning him. So it just shows you that due to advances in technology, things can change, and it's really scary to think that maybe Louise was not guilty. I would like to quote the following sources I use, which is Wikipedia, Grazia, Daily Mail, and iNews. And
get your fix every week by subscribing to Black British Girl Talks wherever you get your podcasts. Any pictures or further information concerning each episode will be on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at Black British Girl Talks. And as always, if you have any questions, DM on Instagram. Until next time, goodbye.